All right, you're on the Arms Room Show with Glenn.
And Drew.
And woo, another wonderful day. Yes. We got some good news this morning.
We did.
Tough, but still good.
Yeah.
Doesn't really matter what it is. Just know that it was good news. And that's it. I'm STD free. I'm just kidding. That wasn't the news. I mean, that is the truth, but also not the news.
I would hope so.
I still want to make my no NKSTD patch one of these days when I'm bored and don't have anything else to do. So basically never. It's never happening. Oh, thank you, patrons, for being part of the show. Really appreciate your support, your ongoing support. And don't forget about the extra shows. Make sure you listen to them. Oh, we put a lot of personal information and we put a lot of energy into those shows. So please make sure that you're listening to them if you are a $10 above patron. And if you don't have your stickers or decals or anything else from your patronage, please make sure you contact us, info@trainingaz.com, so that we can get you the stuff you're supposed to have as a patron. And your show ideas, we love them. We love your show ideas. Please continue to send them to us. It's how we do the shows, like the show we're doing today. So please make sure that you guys are always sending us your show ideas. info@trainingaz is the best way to get a hold of us. Last week we pre-recorded, and so we always pre-record, obviously, now, but we pre-recorded before the actual show day, and so I wanted to bring this up because our show day fell on a holiday, basically, or the remembrance of a holiday, right, which is Memorial Day. Now, we went camping, and we had a great time, and it was really cool. And we, of course, enjoyed, you know, having the kids, and everyone's with us, and we enjoy always camping and being outdoors and doing all that. That all being said, here's a misnomer, I think, about Memorial Day that I just want to clear up real quick. And most of you guys, obviously, the holiday has passed, but this is my bit. You have a whole bunch of look at me, thank me for my service type folks who jump on and go, the day isn't about barbecues. It's about dead Americans fighting for. Actually, let me go ahead and just
stop you right there.
Let me stop you right there. Now, I'm not the kind of person that was in, like, you know, all these cool places and I can name 18 fucking people that I was there with when they died or whatever. Some guys have that experience. I didn't have that experience, right? Some people did, and that sucks. If you were in places like Fallujah or Sangin, or you spent a lot of time in Helmand or Basra or any of these places like this where it was just fucking terrible most of the time. I mean, it's terrible all the time anywhere in any of those places. But maybe you've got like a long old list, and maybe you don't. Here's the reality. Of the people I do know who have lost their life in the military service, they want me to barbecue. They want me to hang out with my family. They want me to memorialize them, not by sitting in a corner and crying, but to remember how they lived and how they lived. To memorialize someone is, to me, to remember how they lived. That's what they want. And that's how these men and women lived. So to me, Memorial Day is a little bit different. You know, we had some of Garrett's friends over. They had done a solid, like a real brotherhood movement to help Garrett out with something over the weekend. And so we invited them over. And to me, that's what better way than to cook, you know, we had a big, you know, steak and potatoes dinner for these guys. And just a big old fun event at our house for these young men who had really done a solid for their friend in true brotherhood. What better way to memorialize the brotherhood than to celebrate brotherhood? So we cooked some steaks on the over the fire and had a great time with these guys and just enjoyed life. I don't know. You celebrate however you want to, but to me, that's how I do it. It's well past at this point. Independence Day, Independence Day Action Rifle Match, 1 month away, folks.
Yeah.
It's coming up soon. Holy shit.
Faster than we know.
I'm not even ready. I'm putting on the match. I'm not even ready. Sorry, guys. It's happening, but I'm not ready.
I feel like this year has just been flying by.
Unbelievably fast. Unbelievably fast. So 4th of July, Independence Day Action Rifle. I can't remember if this is the 15th or 16th year of this event, but it's like the 5th or 6th year that we've been putting it on. Please make sure to get involved with the match. Limited space. We're about half full right now. This year is going to be at in Phoenix at Ben Avery. Tons of fun, tons of prizes, tons of cool people. Slightly different theme this year. I'm not going to ruin the surprise, but I have in my brain a thing, slightly different theme that I think you guys are really going to enjoy. I like putting on the kind of matches I would want to shoot. All right, so we'll leave it at that. Alrighty, so get involved in that while you can. And oh, by the way, if you go to sign up for the match online, you just go to trainingaz.com, go to the online store, and you can sign up there. There's like different divisions. If you don't know what division you want to be in, it's no big deal. Just fucking sign up for one, open, whatever, doesn't matter. Because on the day of, you can always change your division. You're not held to that division. We just have to get a certain number in each division to make that division fair, right? Like, you can't have three guys in the division because then obviously it's going to be first, second, third. I typically require at least six because then that makes it some kind of challenge. And we've already met that in every division. So it doesn't really matter what division you pop into. It doesn't matter. Just so you know. California overturned a whole bunch of interesting stuff with the assault weapons ban. But like so many other things, we'll see how long it lasts.
Yeah.
Because already, of course, their other politicians are going to war on it. So here's the thing, though. Here's what's nice is that it gives me some hope.
Yeah.
It gives me some hope that there's still some decent leaders, judges, dare I say politicians out there that are trying. And they're in an uphill battle every day. And so if you have the chance to support those kinds of people, if you can identify them, especially if they're in your community, please make sure you truly support them, not just with your words, but with your time and energy and efforts. And if you have it, your money. Because these are the people that are in the fight. They really are in the fight. I also want to mention another little piece of hope I got last week. I had the opportunity to spend a couple days with a couple of our other instructors teaching some local ASU ROTC folks. Army ROTC, senior cadets. So these are people who are, you know, pretty much already contracted and will be commissioned officers in the United States Army. I have very little hope for the future when it comes to the majority of youth I see, especially all these people on social media and all this. But I will say, having the opportunity to hang out with these young men and women for 2 days last week was a real pleasure. It was a real pleasure for me and Josh and Chris, who got the chance to teach with me. It was a real pleasure. These are really good people. They had good heads on their shoulders. They were intelligent. They were open-minded. They were willing to change. They had, you know, were intelligent to the point where they challenged, you know, to an extent some of the things we were saying. They had a great leadership and cadre, which certainly helped that. But it was nice to see that. It really was. So there's hope, my friends.
Yep.
A glimmer every now and then. There is hope. I wanted to mention a news article I read about. Mansfield News Journal. I read about this back on the 1st of June. Grandmother charged after the shooting death of her 4-year-old grandson. Diane Ross, 51, idiot, faces 3 years in prison if convicted, which I hope she gets convicted. And the incident was reported when Galleon police officers were called to Avita Health System, Galleon Hospital at blah, 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 May, for a toddler who had sustained a single gunshot wound to the face. Ross was the boy's grandmother. The boy's family lived with Ross. The woman had left a loaded .22 caliber semi-automatic pistol on top of the shelf. The statement was that the child put a speaker next to the shelf to crawl up and get the gun. So the kid obviously had seen someone do something or knew that it was there and basically crawled up there and shot themselves in the face, probably trying to pull it off of the off the shelf. It happens a lot with guns. A lot of kids will shoot themselves in the face because they can't pull the trigger backwards. So they turn the gun around and push the trigger forward basically with their thumb. And, of course, now the muzzle's aimed right at their chest or face, and they kill themselves. I don't care if they hang this bitch from the street.
Yeah.
I hope they hang her from a fucking streetlight. I'll be honest with you. I'm so goddamn sick of hearing about kids shooting themselves because some fucking moron didn't secure their guns. Let me be honest with you, okay? And you know, if you don't like this, I don't fucking care. Don't listen to the show anymore, okay? Let me tell you something. Quit with the guns laying around the house thing. Fucking stop. Just stop. Loaded guns laying around the house. I don't care if you have kids or not. It's not just about kids. It's about any unsecured firearms and unauthorized users getting access to those unsecured firearms. Or do it. But then if something like this happens, you should swing. That kid's life was snatched away because adults around him were too fucking stupid to lock up their guns.
Yeah.
Look, man, we just had Secure It on the show. They gave you a bunch of great cost-effective options. We bought one.
Yeah, we did.
A really cool one that mounts under the bed, long gun, very cool. Not cost prohibitive, very cost-effective. $300. Dude, secure your damn firearms. Whatever happens, or don't, but know that whatever happens ought to be your responsibility. I mean, like, I have no problem. If they convict that chick and they hang her, I know they won't. But if they did, I would be like, yeah, the bitch deserves a swing. I'm sure there's a lot of, oh, there's more to the story. I don't give a shit. A four-year-old kid was able to get access to a loaded firearm, shot himself in the face, kill himself. Like, secure your damn guns.
Yep.
It's not that fucking hard. All right. I'm off my soapbox for now. Redwire gear moment. Have the correct armorer's tools. Have the right tools to fix your guns. If you have ARs, get some AR armorer's tools. Obviously, take a class if you can, but not all these kind of programs are available, so you may find yourself on freaking YouTube University. But get the right armorer's tools. If you have a Glock, get the right armorer's tools. If you have a 1911, get the right armorer's tools, right? I don't care what gun you have, get the right armorer's tools. I'm going to share with you a quick story on why this is so important. I needed to swap out some flash hiders and some parts and pieces, mostly all at the end of the muzzle. On some rifles. Went over to a friend's house to get it done. He has all the right armorer's tools, which is why I went over there. He has every possible part of what he does for a living, but he has all the tools. He has all the different flash hider wrenches and all the different muzzle tools. It's awesome. It's awesome to go there and work on my guns because I know he has every little tool that we're going to need. And it makes the job so easy. So easy, which is why I'm happy to go over there and have him help me do it because it's like it gets done so much faster than me trying to monkey fuck the thing on the kitchen table or with a shitty vise that's not properly secured because I just don't have that setup right now. Or I'm like, oh man, I really wish I had this tool that I got to order from, and then it's going to take 2 weeks. Ah, fuck it, I'll just modify. And then you break something or you tear something up or whatever. So easy. When you have the right tools, get the right tools and get them now, man. We don't know what kind of, you know, crazy gun legislation is coming down the pike. It's a great idea to go ahead and get all the stuff you need because you may be fixing your guns instead of just buying new stuff.
Yeah.
Get the right armorer's tools now. All right. Redwire Gear Moment brought to you by redwiregear.com. Our topic for today, do you really need another gun? Both yes and no. I don't care what you buy. We could all always have one more gun. I have my dream guns, right? The guns I still don't have. You know, I would love to have a Parafal. I think a Parafal is the business, right? Freaking rad. Battle rifle. When people say battle rifle and then talk about 5.56, I just shake my head. I'm like, bro, if it ain't a 30 cal, it ain't no battle rifle, right? Like a Parafal is badass. I bought an AR-10 because I'm like, well, I'll get an AR-10. You know, I'm familiar with the system, blah, blah, blah. Instead of getting a Fal, and I wish I would have bought a Fal. Like, badass guns. Awesome. I'd love to get maybe like a Springfield M1A, SOCOM, SOCOM 2s. Actually, not SOCOM 2s, SOCOM 1. I think that'd be badass. They're cool fucking guns. Both these guns are like expensive enough that I just won't go buy them. I want a simple thing. Like, I was watching Drew play Red Dead last night. She was fucking smoking these dudes with a double-barrel shotgun, a side-by-side. And I'm like, man, I've always wanted a cool hammer-fired, wood-stocked coach gun. You know? Just freaking rad. You know, I don't even know if I'd shoot it that much, but I would go out and shoot it for fun. I would just be like, oh, we're going shooting? I'm bringing the coach gun. You know what I mean? I'm just going to shoot some shit with this gun because it's fucking rad. There are some guns I would still like to have, right? I mean, I have what I need. I've got a good shotgun. I got a good rifle. I got a good carbine. I got a good handgun. Right? I have my own personal guns that I need, right? You can always get another one.
New Tom says that he expects me to say on this show that, yes, you can always have one more gun. You can
always have one more gun.
Because I posted the photo of my Creedmoor.
Oh, stuff it into the safe. Yeah, Drew just got one more gun.
Yeah, I did. After I was bitching about not getting any more guns.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
What did you say with like 25 pistols?
I don't know what it was. Too many. So we just went to the range yesterday and zeroed in her new custom-built 6.5 Creed from LRK Mechanical. It was great.
Yeah.
I think it shoots like a dream.
Oh, my gosh. That thing is awesome.
Crazy accurate. Not even that heavy. No freaking recoil. We got an 18-inch setup. Freaking phenomenal. Phenomenal setup. So anyways, you can always have one more, right? Like I'm like, oh, man, you know. I'd like to get back into rifle competitions as heavy as I used to shoot them, but if I'm going to, probably got to kind of ditch the 6.5, get into the 6 world. I'm like, oh, I don't want to do that. Point is, yeah, you can always make room for one more. That being said, no, you probably don't need another one. Now, needs and wants, two totally different things. But let's talk about some of the other things that you might want to consider. One of the things we just talked about at the Redwire Gear Moment was, hey, instead of spending $500 or $800 or $1,000 or $2,000 or whatever on another rifle or pistol, why don't you go get armor's tools and learn how to fix the shit you have?
Yeah.
Get better bipods for the long guns that you have. Get better optics for the long guns that you have. Get better holsters or more magazines for the pistols that you have. Get some training. If it's been a while since you've been through a class, take that money that you would spend, get some ammo. I know it's expensive right now, but get some ammo and go through a training class instead of buying yet another gun. There was that concept, old concept of, you know, beware the man with one gun. He probably knows how to use it. That's not always true, but the idea behind that saying is that person who only has that one gun, that's the only gun they shoot. I mean, you consider like, you know, old cowboys on the range. They have their rifle, a pistol, maybe two. They're good with those tools. Their lives depended on those tools. You think about the way that an infantryman back in the, you know, Civil War took care of their musket. This is their life, their livelihood. And when they left, they may literally take that musket home with them, and then this is how they hunt to feed their family. They knew how to fix them. They knew how to take them apart. They knew how to replace springs. They knew how to fix them. They knew how to do that.
Yeah.
And people can poo-poo the foreign AKs and foreign armies and, look at this AK. It's held together with baling wire and, look, it's got a shovel handle for a stock. Yeah, show me an American who knows how to do that. These people's lives depend on these guns, potentially. They know how to fix them. They learn, sometimes by trial and error. Sometimes by hilarious trial and error, but still by trial and error nonetheless. They figure out how to take this stuff apart and fix it. And they use all kinds of modified tools and modified whatever because they truly understand how the equipment works. They can modify stuff. They can make stuff to make the gun keep operating. Do you know your gun that well? When was the last time you took your gun, whatever, your favorite gun? When was the last time you took it completely apart? I mean armor level completely apart. You punched out all the pins. You pulled everything apart. You took all the springs off all the detents. You did all that. And you just had a pile of parts laying there. And then you successfully put it back together again. For some of you, you're like fucking yesterday. And that's good. Good for you. Can you do that with all the guns that you shoot? Could you do that with your AR, your Glock, your, you know, shotgun, your precision rifle, whatever? If something goes wrong with your gun in the field, do you know how to fix it?
Yeah.
Do you actually know how to fix it? Do you know what the limitations are of it if you're going to take it into the field? In addition to all those things, we just finished talking about safes and keeping secure access. Do you need another gun? Probably not if you don't have a good way to secure it. Or maybe think about, hey, instead of this extra money buying yet another AR or another shotgun or whatever, what if I got a really good quick action safe that I could keep one of these things handy in my vehicle or in my home for self-defense? Think about all the other parts and accessories you might need. If you've been putting off getting a better optic and now you're thinking about getting another gun, don't. Get a better optic for that rifle you're considering getting a better optic for. You're never going to be unhappy about really good glass. If you're a rifle shooter, what's your spotting scope like? What's your tripod like? You can put $500 or $600 in a badass tripod, a Leo Photo, the new Vortex carbon fibers, Tuvet arms, all really, really good tripods. If you don't have a badass tripod, if you're a shooter and you don't have a badass tripod, either to put optics on or to mount your rifle on or both, I think everybody who has a long gun, I don't care if it's an AR-15, if you have a long gun, you should have a stable standing shooting platform, and a badass tripod is a good fucking stable standing shooting platform, not one of those shitty extendable monopods. Those things suck. Get a badass freaking tripod. Plus, you can still use it for your cameras and your camcorders and whatever the hell else you want to use. They're badass, man. They're a great freaking tool. Get one of those instead of getting another gun.
Yeah, isn't that what you'd want to do anyways, is build the rifles that you have right now to their fullest capability before you go and purchase another one? Because then you have all these rifles that are all incomplete, right? Mm-hmm. So I'd think that you would want to spend the money to set up your pistol, your carbine, your rifle, your shotgun exactly the way that you want it, and then think about purchasing another gun versus having all these guns where they're all kind of...
almost, but not complete.
Yeah.
100%. Think about putting better triggers in your guns. You've got that one gun. Everyone has that one gun in their safe that you're like, I hope I never have to bet my life on this gun. You know what I mean? Like, it always kind of hiccups a little, has some problems a little. Maybe it's an AR. Maybe it's a lever gun. Maybe it's an old bolt gun, whatever. You're like, I don't know about that. I've got one, you know? I've got an old Model 99 Savage that I absolutely love the idea of, because it's in 250-3000, which is, in my family, a very important cartridge. And I don't have time to get into everything, but it's just a badass part of my family's history. And I bought this gun because it was a great deal, and I found this old one. It's a takedown model. Oh, I was so excited to get it. It shoots like garbage. It absolutely shoots like garbage. And mostly because I only have factory ammo to feed it, and I don't hand load, and I don't know anybody who can hand load that caliber for me, and so I'm just kind of stuck shooting this gun that's like fucking 3 to 4 minutes of angle at 100 yards, which is just trash ammo. I really, really, really want to hunt with this rifle. And I mean, I've considered getting a single stage press for it, so why don't I do that? That's what I need to do. I mean, right now is not the best time since all the fucking components and shit are out, but like, to me, before I get another gun, that should be on my list, honestly. I haven't thought about it for a while, but now I am thinking about it. I'm kind of mentally putting it on my list. Like, I should at the very least get a single stage press. I'm not going to shoot this gun a lot. If I prepped, you know, 40 to 50 rounds, it could probably last me for a while. But I would love, just from the traditional side of things, to kill something with this rifle. I think it would be very special to me. You know, go out and hunt some deer, elk or something with it. But I have a gun right now that I can't shoot effectively.
Yep.
Why the fuck do I even have it? You know, I mean, everyone's got that gun, or maybe you got more than just one of those in your safe. Ah, it's an old heirloom. I don't shoot it or whatever. Just think about it, right? Do you really need that? Now, with all that being said, that's gun related. We could go down that rabbit hole forever. So when you ask yourself, do I need another gun? Do I want this gun? Oh, man, what a great deal on this Glock, this AR, this SIG, this whatever. Ask yourself this. When was the last time you had a meaningful, dedicated trip for yourself with your significant other, with your kids? You don't have to fly across the country or fly around the world to do this. When was the last time you took people that you cared about, friends, and you went out camping with them? Now, look, that's got a cost associated with it too. When's the last time you flew somewhere to see an old friend or a family member that you haven't seen in a while? All those things have costs associated with them. And for the price of a badass new rifle, you could do that. You could grab a ticket or two, whatever you need, and fly somewhere. We've all got that old friend that at one point in our life was one of the most important people in our lives, and they've never met our significant other, or they've never met our kids. Is that more important than having another gun? I think so. And when's the last time you just went on a staycation with your family? Okay, maybe you don't have a lot of expendable money. Maybe to you, I mean, everyone thinks of new guns differently. I mean, for some people, they're like, if I'm going to get a new AR, it's going to cost me $2,000 to $3,000 because of the quality of the AR, optics, et cetera, you're putting on. Other people are like, if I get a new AR, it's going to be less than $1,000 because that's the type of AR that they're after. That's fine. So whatever your budget is, staycation. I mean, we went for New Year's Eve to the Arizona Grand.
And had a blast.
We got the – I don't even remember what they called the suite. I think they call it the Grand Suite.
Yeah, I think
it's
so.
It's three bedrooms with a massive dining room,
yeah,
massive living room, little kitchenette, a balcony that overlooks the entire resort, literally right next to the water park.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get a room, you get access to the water park, for which free. Is a badass water park.
Yep.
And I think – you know,
it was under it, well, the that, room itself was
that think, that whole thing would have been less than the price of a new Glock.
Yeah.
Now, sure, it's only one night, but when did you go have a meaningful time? Turn off your phone.
Yeah.
Put your laptop to the side and just had a meaningful time with the people you care about. I don't care if that's kids, friends, family, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, whatever you got.
Yep.
Maybe just your parents. You know, when was the last time you really spent some quality time with your parents? Took a great trip with old dad. Now, these folks aren't going to be around forever. Prioritization becomes a serious thing in this world that we live in of self-reliance and emergency prep. I hear people all the time say, oh, man, yeah, I don't really have enough money to buy a badass generator for my house. Okay, you're talking about a badass generator is, you know, $1,500 or less. In your last range trip, you fired – you know, 300-400 rounds of ammo, and you do that once every month or every other month, and then I just saw you post on your Instagram about that badass new rifle you got. What about that badass generator you can't afford? The point is, do you need another gun? Yes. And no. You probably want another gun more than you need one. And some of you guys are like, no, man, I really do need this other gun to kind of fill out my collection or fill out my emergency prep or whatever. You know, hey, I got five members in my house and I really want to build an AR for all of them and I only got four, so I really would like to get a fifth one. I really do need that. Okay, cool. Go for it. But now look at the reality of needing an AR for every single person in your house. You're talking about some government overthrow, civil unrest, Red Dawn zombie apocalypse situation, right? Okay. What's the reality of that versus what's the reality of your kid growing up fucking hating you or not wanting to really be around you because you don't spend quality time with them? Or what's the reality of a strained relationship with your significant other or your friends or your family members because you're not spending enough quality time with them? I see this. In my profession, I see this. I see this literally happen to people. I'm not making this shit up. Right? Drew went through this. She experienced this. I've seen it with other people. I've seen it in clients who would rather spend money on gun shit. They talk about gun stuff like it's the only thing in their whole life. And it shouldn't be. I do this for a living. And professionally, I've been around firearms, handled firearms, taught firearms, etc. since I was 17 years old. Been around my entire life, but for over 20 years, I have professionally been around firearms. And I'm telling you, I see this. I see this addiction to guns and firearms, magazines, and I mean like paper magazines and online Instagram posts and just this addiction to it. It's so involved. It's almost like a heroin addiction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's like, dude, I get it. I love guns too. I love shooting too. I love going out and doing this. I do it for a living. I love it, obviously. But it can't be the all-consuming force in your life.
No.
You have to be willing and able to do something else with your gun money. And some people have like a gun fund every month. Hey, man, I get X number of dollars. I set it aside, whatever. Awesome. Awesome. Imagine taking that money 1 month. What would it do for your significant other or your family or your friends or your kids if they knew, hey, man, I saved up my gun fund for a few months, a year, a couple years, whatever. And now we're going on this badass trip. Or now we got, you know, that side-by-side we've been wanting. Or, you know, we whatever, you know, upgraded my truck so we could all fit in there and go camping or whatever, right? Depending on how much money you're putting in your gun fund, that's all possible stuff. Or maybe, hey, this weekend, surprise, we're all going to go have a cool staycation at the local cool resort. And maybe that's only $500 or $600 for you. And maybe $500 or $600 is a lot of fucking money for you. And that's no – it's a lot of money for everybody, honestly. But like maybe that's – maybe and maybe $5,000 is a lot of money for you. I don't know. I don't know what your situation is. But whatever it is, you will and the people that you care about and are involved with will be better if you just consider this a little bit. Now, look, we start off talking about, no, you probably don't need another gun. You need to learn what you have. You need to learn how to use it effectively. You need to learn more about it. You need to upgrade it and improve it. And maybe you need to take a look at other aspects of your life. That's kind of how we round this out. Maybe instead of sitting there and researching the differences in optics, you got to go for a fucking run.
Yeah.
Or maybe instead of sitting there and listening to two fucking idiots debate on the internet about what gun is better or what way or what zero is optimal for – look, let me just clear this up real quick. On 5560, I have never seen a topic debated more than 5560s. Let me straighten it out for you. Zero your gun and then shoot it a lot at different distances so that you understand what your hold under holdovers might be and then – adjust your zero as needed if you decide you want to do it. For most people, a 25 to 50 yard zero is going to be plenty. There you go. The end. We don't need to debate this ad nauseum. It's fucking ridiculous. So instead of listening to those kind of stupid debates that happen, what if you went and read a book with your kids or read a book for yourself? Or went for a nice walk around your neighborhood or went and met one of your neighbors. Hey, neighbor, I've lived here for 5 years, 2 years, 1 month. I haven't met you. I just want to meet you. That's something I got to do. That's my big weakness is I don't know my neighbors well enough. We know a few of them, but we definitely don't know them enough. Mm-hmm. That's a big weakness, right? Your community is your strength. And I don't know my neighbors well enough. Not as well as I should. I know a few of them, but not all of them. So to me, yeah. Before I do one more stupid whatever online looking at, oh, man, that's a cool new whatever, I'm going to go meet another neighbor. This lifestyle is not about guns. This preparedness concept is not about guns. This self-reliance idea is not about guns. This resist and disobey concept is not about guns. That's not the fixating factor. I know plenty of people, highly efficient tacticians, amazingly skilled operational guys that could not even tell you what gun is in their fucking hand. They couldn't tell you what ammo goes in it. And then you have these other folks who are on the exact opposite side of that. They could tell you every little nuance and every little detail and no idea how to really apply it in the real world, no capability to do so. Maybe we find ourselves somewhere in the middle would be a good place to be. I'm not saying either one of those extreme examples is desirable. I'm just saying understand that that exists. So, do you really need another gun? Maybe. Maybe you do. But if you don't really, really need another one, consider other things you might do. Other things you might prioritize, whether that's improving what you have or learning more about what you have or learning how to use more better. Is that the right word? Better? How about that? What you have? Or maybe it's investing in other parts of your self-reliance. Maybe it's investing in other parts of your life, your mental health, your physical health. There you go. Anything to add to that, Drew?
No, I agree.
What gun do you want?
Well, now that I think I have mine completed, I don't think I need another one. I have a rifle. I have two carbines.
You have two carbines. You got an AK and an AR, a rifle, and a couple good pistols.
Yeah, that's all I need.
Yeah.
Actually, I have three carbines. I have two AKs.
Yeah, technically you do have two AKs.
And an AR. And now my Creedmoor plus my two handguns. I think I'm set. I'm only one person with two hands, so.
How many of these things can I shoot?
At the same time.
You ever, do you remember that movie, Hot Fuzz?
Yeah.
Where he's riding that horse at the end and he's got like 18 fucking guns slung across his back.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that movie.
I always think about that. That's funny. Whenever we're like, you know, you're playing Call of Duty or whatever with the kids. And, like, your guy, you got, like, a belt fed with 300 rounds, and then your secondary is, like, a carbine with 400 rounds. And I'm like, who is this man? You know what I mean? Who carries both of these weapons at the same time? And, like, 700 or 800 rounds of ammo. And he's sprinting and double knee sliding. I'm like, I want to see the man who can rock an M4 fully tricked out, gun weighs freaking 18 pounds, and this big old freaking, you know, 40, 50 pound belt fed with all the optics and lasers and shit on it, and like 400 rounds of freaking ammo for the carbine and 400 rounds of ammo for the belt fed and a couple flash and a couple of freaking grenades, you know, and then like a laser guidance freaking system, and then he runs, sprints, and then double knee slides. If you can send me a video of yourself doing that successfully and not scorpioning and freaking tactical yard sailing shit all over the place, I don't even know what I'll send you. Something amazing. Oh, anyways. All right. Independence training moment. The floor is lava. In IFAC Lifesaver yesterday, we're teaching med class. One of the things that students discovered, it's hot here now.
Very you know, hot.
We're, next one, week we're 106, is, 110.
Next week's going to be 117.
Record-breaking heat. I love it. We're 106 to 110 right now on average during the day. And you acclimate to that. People, I don't know how you stand that. I stand it just fine. Just acclimate it.
Just running 106, you'd be all right.
It's not that big of a deal. But people were outside dealing with bleeders and dealing with patients, and the patients are laying on the ground that's been baking in the sun all day. And the responders are trying to kneel on the ground that's been baking in the sun all day. They're trying to put their hands on the ground. It's been baking on the sun all day. Consider how incredibly hot surfaces are going to affect your ability to get into a prone and shoot, your ability to kneel and shoot, your ability to do combatives on the ground, your ability to perform medical response on the ground, your ability to change a flat tire on the side of the road. How are you going to protect yourself from the ground? You know, I keep and consider, you know, a good set of knee pads. I like the Arc'teryx kneecaps. But I consider a good set of knee pads crucial for any, you know, emergency bug out, blowout kit, med response, whatever. I think they're awesome. I think they're the best things ever. Like, you should definitely carry a couple pairs of knee pads. I keep a pair of knee pads in my truck, you know, in my toolbox, just in case I got to get down on some hard-ass surface. I've got a nice – they're just basic, like, craftsman freaking knee pads. But I'm really going to be happy about that if I got to kneel down on incredibly hard, hot surfaces. So remember – floor is lava. How are you going to handle yourselves now? We're getting into the hot part of the year now. And wherever you go, it's warm. It may not be 110 or 117 like Drew's talking about next week, but it is going to be hot. How are you going to handle the heat on the hot ground in an emergency? All right, Independence Training Moment brought to you by IndependenceTraining.com, or you can find us at TrainingAZ.com. You can bring us out to train with you. Get hosting information via the information I just gave you. Contact us and ask us how to get us out to you. We're happy to come out there. And it doesn't all have to be live fire classes, medical, UTM and airsoft programs in structures, things like that. We don't need special structures to do arm movement and structure programs. So absolutely, you know, consider those aspects other than just live fire shooting stuff. Make sure you follow us on Facebook and Instagram as the Arms Room Show, Independence Training, Redwire Gear, and MRC Phoenix, which is Drew's running club. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Make sure you check out the other shows and services that they offer. Next week, we're going to have good old Dave on the show. Dave, one of our former show producers and instructors with Independence Training, coming back on the show with us. People sometimes don't realize that all the instructors, literally except for two instructors who have come and gone through independence training, which isn't that many. We haven't had a lot. We have 11 right now, and in total we've had maybe 18 over 12 years. Like, it's not like we just pump through people. Most of our people are, you know, most of our guys now, the majority of our guys, especially our hardcore dudes, are, they've been with us for 9 years, 10 out of 12 years, you know, like been around a long time.
And we still keep in contact with some of them.
Yeah. Most people don't realize, except for the two that I'm thinking of.
One's dead.
So. Well, three. Okay, three. One of them died. All right. So the other two.
Don't do fentanyl.
No. Take it easy on the drugs you choose to do and seek mental help when needed. But the other two were very short-lived and kind of imbalanced vets that had some really internal issues. And we were trying to help them out. We couldn't quite do it. But everyone else who's left, we still keep in contact with. Yeah. And they all moved on to bigger and better things, including Dave.
Dave still come to all of our Christmas parties, all of our
– Yeah, still hang out. We help them out with projects. They help out with projects. Some of our guys – you know, we still stay in contact with everybody. And we help them out as much as we can. They help us out too. Dave is going to be here from the ER, stories from the ER, talking with us about the insanity of people having no – personal emergency preparation, and how most people show up, and they could have shown up so much better. So look forward to that in studio guest next week. Until that next time, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.